flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Now, back to the guys.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
A.J. Brown, a former wide receiver under Mike Vrabel, still the current wide receiver in the Super Bowl, but played for Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. We'll get into Vrabel and his track record at the wide receiver position coming up in just a moment. Real quick, A.J. Brown's name didn't come up, in the segment where we debated who has the most to gain and lose. You think he stands to gain or lose much in the Super Bowl?
As much as I love the receiver position, I think it's still so much just quarterback, coach, and then we highlight Saquon just because it's like a next level type of season. Like if A.J. Brown wins, great. You know, he goes down as another big time wide receiver to have a Super Bowl win. But I don't hold it against those guys as much. Like, you know me, I love Moss and T.O. as much as anybody in the world. And like, neither one of those guys won a Super Bowl.
No, that's true. And those guys are, I would say, the second and third best receivers of all time after Jerry Rice, who won plenty.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I wonder is, I think there's still a chance A.J. Brown could be out of Philadelphia.
But the way receivers are,
yeah,
couldn't he be out whether they win or lose? Like, Tyreek Hill was gone out of Kansas City. They weren't hey, we got to keep him together.
But that was after they lost, wasn't it?
But they had already won twice. Or
No, Hill won one, I think. I thought they moved Hill after they lost to the Bucks. Was last year? No, you're right. Maybe
Hill won twice.
No, you're right. Did they move him after they won? Maybe you are right about that.
So.
I thought they moved him after the Bucks Super Bowl.
Receivers are kind of wild. Oh, no, he's a one-time Super Bowl winner. You're right. I'm a little surprised. So he was on the 2019 team that won and then played 2 more years and then was gone.
Okay.
So was it when they lost to Brady?
That's
so he was on the team that lost to Brady.
That was
He left Kansas City after 2021. That was when they lost to Burrow.
So they lost to Brady and then they lost again. So they had lost 2 years in a row. So maybe one off isn't enough, but this would be 2 lost Super Bowls with A.J. Brown. And it's not even about losing the games.
Yeah.
It's about he's on the sideline reading the book.
Yeah.
He seems mostly checked out, although last week he was very good in that game. But the first 2 playoff games, he didn't do much. If he has another light participation, stomping around, moody on the sidelines, checked out reading his book, I just wonder if that doesn't sit well with the organization, the fan base, and there's a chance he still moves, which maybe could be something to gain for Patriots fans potentially.
And also, like, depending on what he does in the game, if it's not a ton, do they say, look, we got Saquon, we got Hurts, we got Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert's turned into a pretty good weapon.
We don't need him.
Maybe we don't need him. And if we get the Patriots second round pick, hypothetically, for him, that's a high pick. That's a decent exchange rate, and maybe you just kind of go from there.
So Mike Vrabel is not entirely to blame, certainly, for the receiver struggles in Tennessee. We can debate how much personnel control he had, how much input he had, He and Ryden Cowden were both in Tennessee for this stretch of wide receivers. You tell me what you think of this group. A.J. Brown was a second-round pick, 51st overall, in a very, very, very good wide receiver class. The Titans hit on A.J. Brown. They decided to trade A.J. Brown eventually. That was John Robinson. Vrabel wanted to keep him. So give Vrabel credit for that. The rest of the receivers drafted in Tennessee, very underwhelming. Corey Davis, 5th overall, first-round pick.
Yeah, that was under Mike Mularkey, though. Corey Davis was 2017, so he had Corey Davis.
So was that Robinson? He inherited
So
let him off the hook for that if you will.
Yeah.
Treylon Burks, first rounder, 18th overall. Taywan Taylor, third rounder. Then you get into day three guys like Des Fitzpatrick in the 4th round. Tajay Sharp out of UMass, 5th rounder. Kyle Phillips, 5th rounder. Racy McMath.
Not a person.
Household name.
Yeah.
And Colton Dowell, 7th rounder, 228th overall. So they took about a swing a year while Vrabel was there. The only hit was A.J. Brown. Does that, well, number one, do you care about it? Or do you just say Vrabel wasn't in charge of personnel? What do I care? And number two, does that inform you in any way how the Patriots should go about rebuilding the receiver room through the draft compared to getting a veteran like an A.J. Brown or someone
like
that?
See, I think that those names are put on John Robinson, and I think it makes John Robinson look like a Belichick disciple, like having a hard time identifying wide receivers because you want to give him credit for A.J. Brown, but then he's also the same guy that then decided to trade A.J. Brown, much to the chagrin of Mike Vrabel, and try to replace him. And then Treylon Burks has been maybe worse than all those other guys that you named, especially based on how high he was drafted. So, no, I look at it as Vrabel probably really, really wanted as much player control as he could have in his next job, because he didn't have it in this job, and he saw all the different ways that they made mistakes. I mean, it's highlighted by A.J. Brown, but some of those other names for sure are like big issues. And, you know, that combined with having Derrick Henry led to an offense that wasn't going to zip it around a lot. They didn't have great receivers. The year that they did, though, the 3 years that they did were the best years that he had. So even though he's a defensive guy, it seems like the team maximized having a real wide receiver, and when they didn't, they fell apart.
Here I think is my stance on the Patriots now, and maybe you felt this way independent of Vrabel's track record in Tennessee. I think my stance is don't draft a receiver. It's Elliott Wolf, it's Ryan Cowden, it's Mike Vrabel. They at least, to their credit, have an A.J. Brown on their
well, not Elliott Wolf.
They're a big
the
board.
Other two.
No, I'm saying Cowden and Vrabel at least have an A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Unlike Wolf, unlike Belichick. So, I mean, you can give Bill if you want to go way back to Deion Branch and David Givens. Edelman is questionable how much credit you want to give him for that later pick, but it still counts. Still a long time ago for Belichick. At least they have A.J. Brown on their hit chart recently. But between Wolf and these two in Tennessee, I think I'd rather they just punt on wide receiver. I'm not even talking at 4.
Yeah.
I'm talking 2nd round, 3rd round. If you want to go day 3, take a flyer, try to find a Pop Douglas or somebody like that on day 3, go ahead. I'll let you do that. I think the first 2 days, I don't want them drafting a wide receiver, or at least I would prefer they go the trade or even free agent route with T. Higgins over drafting a guy in the first, 3 rounds. I think that's probably already where I was. And knowing how it went in Tennessee, I'm probably even more in that group now.
So I guess I don't hold any of the wide receiver stuff against Mike Vrabel. I don't know how much say he really had, because the one thing that we know for sure that he got into like argument over with John Robinson was getting rid of Brown. So as far as the draft process, I don't know how much say he had when it came to, let's take Treylon Burks. So they move on from Brown. That began the rift between Vrabel and the front office. Mm-hmm. And then at 16, they take Treylon Burks. That ended a run in the first round of wideouts, and then in the second round it included, like, that was the Tyquan Thornton draft, so I guess you could have taken like a George Pickens. But I only bring that up to say, did Vrabel have a guy in mind? Did he get outvoted? Was his guy Treylon Burks? That's all an unknown.
If you want to let Vrabel off the hook, I guess that's fine, although if he's not going to be calling the shots in Tennessee, why are we sure he's calling the shots here?
I think he made sure to put it in there.
But Wolf is still here, and his personnel guy is Cowden. And Cowden was there, and imagine he's part of the decision-making. Now, maybe he disagreed with Robinson, too.
Well, that's one of those things where, like, Nick Caserio worked with Bill.
Yeah.
And if Bill wanted a guy, they were taking the guy Bill wanted, even though Caserio might have wanted the opposite. You know, and now we see him running a team, and it seems to be going better. It seems to be going well.
They seem to be drafting better, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I I think I'd rather they go, again, T. Higgins.
Oh, see, I did either way. I think that's the way to go because they have so many needs.
You've been there for a while. Yeah. I think I was more on the fence about it.
Okay.
I don't think I like a receiver at four. Travis Hunter, to me, is not a receiver. He is a... I don't even know how to categorize
him. Athlete.
I think he's a corner first, though. Like, I'm drafting Travis Hunter.
He's a two-way player. He's like generational player. Like, whatever it was. That was it, the Titans GM was saying that?
Correct.
Like, he is that.
So, if Hunter's there at four, I still want, because even if he strikes out as a receiver, he can be a really high-end corner. Him I still want.
Mm-hmm.
But McMillan, and even guys that I like, Luther Burden, guys that I like, I think I'm still kind of out on the Patriots doing that. They should trade for a receiver over even signing T. Higgins, who I'd be okay with, and I'd be excited about, and I'd credit them for spending money.
Yeah.
But I think you can even do better than T. Higgins if you're trading for guys like DK Metcalf, who apparently hates Massachusetts.
Yeah, well,
or some of the A.J. Brown, some of the other names we brought up, how realistic they are, we can debate. But I think that's the route for this team to go.
And nobody likes this current wide receiver room. So I don't know how many guys they're going to get rid of. But let's say you hypothetically drafted one, right, in the first round. So now that player would join a wide receiver room that has 2 second-year players, 2 third-year players. It it's all young guys. So yeah. I don't think I'd want to combine.
Right, you need.
If you're going to get something out of Polk, which I don't think you will.
You
but
won't.
If you would, or Kayshon Booty, wouldn't it help to have like the veteran guy in there? I think like a good veteran, like Kendrick Bourne, solid, whatever. But like somebody better than that, that maybe they can learn from, rather than like just toss another rookie into the mix. Now that rookie is going to learn from those guys. I don't think so.
Yeah, the point here is made on Twitter as well about the struggles in Tennessee with developing those receivers. It's probably on the quarterbacks in some ways too, Mariota and Tannehill. Fine. Are we sure Drake Maye is the kind of guy to bring along young receivers? I don't know. I didn't see much of that.
Flashes with Booty, I would say, this
Booty
year.
Had a career year.
Yeah.
Douglas finally scored multiple touchdowns.
But what were those guys?
I mean,
they were better than they had been, but what were they?
But those guys are guys that could be on the field for a good team, like a third, fourth receiver.
I like Drake Maye better than Ryan Tannehill and Marcus Mariota.
Well, yeah.
But we're sure he's that guy now. So you talk about the young receivers in the room, Keith, and how they might need a veteran. Maye also probably needs a veteran.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a tangible benefit on both counts, I think.
Yeah, no, I think it is too. And that's why we're going to have to see who that receiver is that moves. It happens every year, and sometimes it comes out of nowhere. You're like, well, they're not going to trade X.
Could be Tyreek Hill again.
It could legit be.
We didn't see Tyreek Hill last time. This time, I think we can see it coming more.
And I know this is more just us kind of wishing it into existence, but like A.J. Brown and Tyreek Hill are both guys that experienced this already once before. Like, it's sort of the nature of the position. They can get moved again. You know, Steph Diggs was the guy that went from team to team. And there is an immediate impact and immediate dividends. You don't know how long you're going to have those guys, and that's fine. But you're just trying to sort of like unlock Drake Maye the way Steph Diggs did for Josh Allen. And then Diggs leaves, and Allen's still great, right? He doesn't really need him as much. But right now, he needs a guy like that.
Yeah, I still think, too, going back to our Saquon Barkley discussion, yeah, you're talking about what Vrabel wants and how it works. You don't need Derrick Henry, but you probably need to upgrade Ramondre, I think.
Or have him hold on to the ball.
Do you expect him to be back?
Yeah.
Ramondre.
I think so. They just signed him. I mean,
what could you get if you trade him?
Fourth round pick,
exactly.
Maybe?
So that's probably not even worth moving him. But he's probably on the team. But is he on the team in his same role, in a primary role? My answer would be, I hope not.
No. Well, I mean, it's funny because there's been all different years. If you look back to Josh McDaniels' offenses, there's been all over the map examples of like you had a 1,200-yard rusher. You had nobody rush for 1,000 yards.
That's true.
You had like guys that were, you know, catching a lot of passes out of the backfield and everything in between. But so I bet he's like one of the guys they use. But I think if they decide to like feature him, that's when you're going to run into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
It's kind of difficult to run when you get hit in the backfield.
It's true. The O-line was not great.
And McDaniels, correct me if I'm wrong, McDaniels' last year here was Ramondre's first, right? That Mac rookie year, I think, was Ramondre's. They were the same
21.
Draft class, right? And Ramondre was good that year. He wasn't great. He had a better year the following year.
Yep.
He had a meltdown against Josh McDaniels
at
a game in Vegas. But, yeah, there is a connection there. And so maybe McDaniels would stump for him. I hope they aim higher at that spot, personally.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of texts here, 617-779-7937. Because we briefly touched on this, do you guys think Jalen Polk will have a better sophomore year?
No.
Me neither.
No, he's really like the one guy.
You think there's any chance he's not on the team next year?
There's a chance, yeah.
Like, I think there is a chance they just move on.
Yeah,
and that would really let you know Elliot Wolf has no say.
Correct.
That would be definitive.
Correct. Because, like, they held on to Tyquan Thornton for a while, and, like, to what end? What was the point?
Right.
And so I think it'll depend on how many receivers they can bring in here. Like, I don't think they're going to not bring in somebody really good because, like, oh, well, our roster's full. It's like they'll keep them until there's like no room for them, would be my guess.
That's also what I think.
Yeah.
And so.
But like other guys, but there's a chance he's
on the way out the door. No,
Polk. But if like Polk and. No, not Polk. If like Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty have better years, I wouldn't be shocked.
Here's where I'd feel good about the receiver room. Polk and Booty. I'm sorry, Polk.
Pop.
Pop, thank you. And Booty are on the team, but they're not really on the field. I feel a lot better if that's your fourth and fifth receiver.
Yeah, but that means you got four new guys. I don't think that's happening.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
No, me neither.
They made a trade. They signed a secondary free agent. They take a if you're taking a guy in the fourth round, those guys are probably ahead.
Yeah,
I'd feel much better about that room.
Javon Baker, big breakout year for him.
That's another guy who might not be on the team.
It's
next year if I had to guess.
Yep.
Some love for Scataboo in the second round as well. I like him. He skipped out on the Senior Bowl, I think.
Maybe you got a promise by somebody.
Maybe it was the Patriots.
Okay, we're going to take you.
Hadn't considered that.
Guy's a game wrecker.
Keith is on the Cape. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, so I was just listening for receivers. What about Ayuk or Deebo from San Francisco for a possible trade target? And then looking also into running backs about moving down in the draft and getting a later first round and looking at either Ashton Jetty from Boise State or just like someone just said,
so Genty, I forget Scataboo in the first round. Genty, if you're trading back into the first round, say into the 20s, can you get him there?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I mean, these, the stocks go up and down with a lot of players as we get closer and closer to the draft. But right now, I don't think so. I think the combination of the Jahmyr Gibbs pick hitting, the season Saquon Barkley has had.
And Bijan Robinson. He was taken top eight, whatever he was.
Eight, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I think all of that and just the way some of these teams have used running backs and just the overall state of this draft, I think he's going in the teens.
I'm going to tell you right now, if they trade down from four, I think I'm more open to them drafting Genty than Tet McMillan or some of these other receivers. Like, I don't hate that plan. I know a lot of people don't like drafting running backs highly in the first round, even in the first round.
Yeah.
I don't hate that. You're not taking him at four.
Like a Sonny Michel, Lawrence Maroney type.
I liked both, if we're being honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you traded down to 8, 9, 10, I would be a fan of that idea. His first question, Ayuk's not going anywhere. He's coming off an injury. He just got paid. Deebo, I'm not sure what he has left in the tank. There was an answer Vrabel gave at his introductory press conference, and I've been a longtime Deebo fan. Same draft as A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, all those guys. But he plays such a physical style, I don't know how that's going to hold up. He's like a running back.
Remember he was trying to get paid.
Look at his age like a wide receiver. Look at his age like a running back.
Yeah, he takes a lot of hits.
But Vrabel said at his introductory press conference, we want guys who are tough to tackle. And I
that
heard
whole
that
Niners team is.
The first name I thought of was Deebo when he said that. So I wouldn't rule that out. I bet you can get him at a depressed cost. I like him.
It would cost the Niners $41 million to move on from him.
To trade him?
He has a dead cap hit of $41 million.
Oh. That's for the Niners.
You never know. Yeah, they can figure that out. I mean, maybe it would happen. But.
So that to me is a player I would like, but I also wouldn't be surprised if you traded for him and you're like, this guy's a husk of his former self.
Yeah.
Steve is on Nantucket. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, I got an easy way to fix three, the quarterback, the receivers, and the running back. Cheap money. It's called offensive line.
Are those cheap typically, Keith?
I also don't think that helps the receivers.
Ronnie Stanley, is he going to be? Well, in some ways, it gives the quarterback more time.
These receivers, you can get them all day long. They're either going to not catch it, they're going to run the wrong route, they're going to catch it, hand it to the defense.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll give them quarterback, running back, 100%, I agree.
Receivers in a vacuum,
yeah.
Not these receivers.
Also, I'm curious how cheap that option's going to be.
That's what I'm saying.
How on earth is that a cheap thing?
Ronnie Stanley, Trey Smith.
Do it cheap this year is the point.
Right. Chukwuma Okorafor is cheap.
Chukwuma Okorafor, that's a cheap option. How'd that go?
Devontae Jacobs.
Cheap option.
Cheap.
You're going to have to spend through the nose for
Trey
some of those
Smith,
guys.
Ronnie Stanley, even if you want Will Campbell in the draft. I guess he's financially cheap, but he's significant in terms of draft capital. I don't know that there's a cheap way to fix your offensive line.
That's why I like the
top five pick cheap.
Well, cheap compared to in the free agent market, but yeah. It'd be high
it's
on the rookie scale, yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like overall, like that's what you're using, but yeah, that's why I'm like I'm less open to the idea of Ashton Jeanty only because the offensive line is so bad and you have no real receiver to speak of. So like I'd got to clean that up first.
617-779-7937. Mike Vrabel, how he wants to run offense, his track record in Tennessee. How does that inform you in any way, if at all, about how the Patriots should build this team this offseason, along with what we're watching in the Super Bowl? I mean, you look at how the Eagles have constructed their team. That is the blueprint I'd like to follow, even more so than what Kansas City's doing. You can fall ass backwards into a quarterback, maybe they have, with Drake May, or you can build things around that quarterback now that you have Drake May. I think there are lessons there to be learned as well. We'll get to WEEI Afternoons at 2 o'clock. See what they have coming up here on WEEI's Picture Day. They should all be in the building, right?
I would think so.
Picture Day is now, apparently.
Yeah, I think they're getting photographed
Stiz,
now.
No hat. Couldn't believe it.
No hat Stiz? I might not recognize him.
I don't think I've ever witnessed that.
Yeah.
No hat turp. I've seen. I don't think I've ever seen no hat Stiz.
Probably jarring. Would be my guess.
Probably. So it's WEEI Picture Day. We'll see what they have coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll also get you our clip du jour, Billy Lanny, with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
I love playing two-hand touch, eating way too much, watching my team win with the
Grab Bag. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Celtics got the 122-100 victory over the Chicago Bulls at the TD Garden last night. Kristaps Porzingis led all scorers with 34 points along with 11 rebounds. Up next, the Seas will begin a three-game road trip in New Orleans to play the Pelicans tomorrow night. According to Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal, federal prosecutors have been investigating whether NBA player Terry Rozier manipulated his performance as part of an illegal sports betting scheme. The inquiry is part of a wider government investigation that has already ensnared Jonte Porter. And tonight, the Bruins begin a three-game homestand when the Bees host the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets are currently on a four-game winning streak. Jonas Korpisalo will get the start in net, and Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo will both return to the lineup. Puck drop at the TD Garden is at 7 o'clock. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.